Our second scripture reading from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and religion scholars were not pleased, not at all pleased. They growled, "He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends." And their grumbling triggered this story. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? And when found, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing, and when you got home, call in your friends and neighbors, saying, "Celebrate with me. I found my lost sheep." Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. Here ends our scripture readings. Speak to us, O Spirit of God, through your word this very day. Brother, sister, it happened some time ago. There was a wealthy man who lost his dog, his darling little Dachshund that he called Spotty. And he was very upset, and he immediately started searching all over, looking for Spotty, calling up the street corners, "Spotty, Spotty." Nothing happened. Finally, he placed a newspaper ad, and he offered a reward for anyone who would find his dog. Nothing happened. And every day, he placed a new ad with a little bit higher reward. And finally, he was so desperate that he offered $1,000 for anyone who could find Spotty for him. But Spotty remained missing. A few days later, he stopped by the newspaper office and he asked to see the editor. "Make a plan." "Sorry, sir, he's not in," the office boy replied. "Okay, then, what about the advertising manager?" "Well, he's out as well." "Good grief, what's wrong? Are they all gone?" "Yes, sir. They're all out looking for Spotty." Now, one thing is for sure. If Spotty ever got back home, it was because many motivated people were looking for Spotty. It was simply because the owner cared, really cared, so much that he could not rest without searching for it. Now, if you wonder why all this, simply because it's a version, a human version of Scripture. It's not just a story. Jesus told a shepherd story, the shepherd story that we read, with a very definite goal in mind. Now, we know from Scripture that He deeply cares for us. And we know from Scripture how much compassion He has for those who are lost, those who are alone, very specially for those who are suffering and very much concerned about the underdogs of society. Scripture says, and I know we believe as the true shepherd, that Jesus was a true shepherd. And like a true shepherd, he yearns through the centuries, through the ages, for all to be safe. Not to be out in danger. For all to be cared for. And especially for all to be loved as part of his flock. And then Jesus had a new accent. He speaks about joy in heaven. He speaks about God as a God who rejoices when you and I turn around and come back home. Home to God. Home to God's presence. Home to giving God room, place in our thinking, in our doing, in our lives. And now, in Scripture, a searching question came from Jesus. He looked at the people around him, and they were a wild bunch. And he said, suppose that one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? You know, this is scriptural language. But it tells us, it teaches us, it moves us with the message of God in and through Jesus Christ. Would you just sit around while Spotty is lost? Will you just sit comfortably in church while there are people who are so deeply wanting? You know, it's a problem with preparing a sermon. Because God has a way of speaking to me first before I can speak to anyone else. And that's scary. That often brings me to tears. Even makes me wonder. It also makes me restless. Uncomfortable. What should we do? Times are changing. The church that existed when I first came here 12 years ago is no longer the same. I had the privilege, rare privilege, of be part of that. Be part of the joy. Be part of the times when these seats, the seats that we had, could no longer take all the people, and when we were forced to bring in extra 75 more seats, when we were forced to move the building out and make it bigger just to accommodate God's people coming Sunday after Sunday. Now I regularly read Christian magazines talking about the change in our society, and they say that that churches here, everywhere, are undergoing the same lot. It happens, they say, that there are more vacant seats than filled seats. But it also makes me restless and uncomfortable. Is there still something that we can do about it? No, we cannot roll back the time. We cannot keep on keeping on doing what our parents and their parents and their parents did. We need to accept the challenge. We need to move out. We need to find new ways to touch a new generation. Makes me uncomfortable and restless. We live in a time when so many people drift away and abandon their most precious faith. Abandon their personal faith in God. Theories about God are circulating, I think, like never before over the media. Wherever you go, wherever you talk, people have different understandings, different insights. But when it comes to a personal faith in God, after we've had all our arguments, when we look somebody honestly in the face and say, let us now talk about our personal faith in God. Do you still believe like you used to? Is your faith still personal, intimate, from deep inside? Or has it become part of an argument? You know, I can only remember the joy, the pleasure, the harmony, the strength that I've seen throughout my life when people discover God. Yes, discover God. People who have never been religious before, when there comes a day that they say, this cannot be. There's something moving deep inside me. And without asking for scientific proof, we begin to say, I know there's a God. I know there's a God. Because He walks with me and He talks with me and He speaks with me and He assures me that I'm His child. Jesus teaches that we as His followers cannot just wrap ourselves in our own faith of the past. What we used to like to believe, what brought us to this point. I can speak about 50 years in the pulpit since I was a young man, a young student. We cannot just speak about what brought us to this moment. We must ask, what does God want us to do amidst changing times? Does that just erase the teachings of Jesus? Can we just say, well, we no longer take that literally? When I'm telling you, and we just read it this morning, that Jesus is teaching us that we, as His followers, should be like that man who placed that advertisement for his dog, for Spotty. He could not sleep, he could not rest while his beloved dog was missing. Dog, well, we love our dogs, but the dog's just a dog. How much serious it would have been if it was actually his own child that he was looking for. Because that's another reality. We look at the next generation and the next. Why are our children only coming to church when they're visiting their parents and their grandparents. Things are changing. I think that was the most important part of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. He searched for the sheep that lost contact with the shepherd. We need to pray. We need to think. We need to talk. We need to plan. How do we reach out in times like these? Because the search for a lost sheep is actually part of the foundation of our Christian faith. It is what we have built on for more than 20 centuries. Seeking those who are out there somewhere. Searching, seeking in the dark. Yes, I know, we must say that to one another, that belonging to the church as such has no saving power whatsoever. No, church membership will not buy the ticket. It goes far beyond that. It goes far deeper. It is possible in our times to be lost, to be alone, to be broken and burdened with sin and shame without the shepherd, even while we are comfortably sitting in a church this morning or elsewhere this very day. Many of you have heard of the well-known theological professor, preacher. His name is Fred Craddock, who tells the story of a church that he served in his earlier years. And that church formed a committee of volunteers that decided to do something about the true mission of their church. So full of enthusiasm, they shared their plans with the congregation, only to get a mixed reaction. There were some of the older people who said, "Well, before we go after new members, we should try to win back members already on our rolls." Some of the other older members said, "Well, to be very truthful, I like the church the way it is right now. After all, who wants strangers in our church? We should just stick to our very own." That's what was happening in the church that Fred Craddock describes. Well, that committee wrote a report. It went back to the church council. They are going out. They're going to win new members. They're going to preach the gospel on the streets. They're going to tell about Jesus. Beautiful. Came back to a committee. And we know that if Moses was a committee, Israel would still be in the desert. But that committee was no exception. They approved it. Good idea. Let's reach out. Let's get those folks. Was filed. And we never, ever heard, said Fred Craddock, of that committee again. Once filed, it's on the record. Then we've done our duty. Well, he concludes, that church is still standing. That building. Only one little difference. It is no longer a church. Because there came a day when that church died, and an innovative business person bought and changed the pretty little church into a huge restaurant. Customers were sought, invited, and welcomed from everywhere. And that business, he says, is still thriving today. God help us as we begin, as you heard this morning, as we talk about transition, as we talk about times ahead. Oh God, help us to retain our identity, to carry in us a shepherd's heart that feels the need to tell others about our glorious God and a shepherd waiting for us to come home. Let me tell you the story. I told it once before, of an old Scottish soldier who had fought many a war far away from home. And finally he was sick and dying in a faraway hospital. And he had only one desire left at that time. It was to see Scotland and his old home where he grew up once again. Oh, how he longed for walking in the heather of the Highlands, hearing the bagpipes of the Scottish regiments. And so far away from home, he remembered the tunes, and his heart stirred till his final night, the night when he died. And the nurses loved this old man. They arranged for a Scottish bagpipe player to come and play under the old soldier's window. So late that night, the dying old man suddenly heard the sound, and he called out, "What do I hear? What's that? What's that? Wow! It's the regiments! It's the Scottish regiments coming home! Scotland the brave! That's the tune! That's the tune! Yes, that's the tune! Thank God I am home once more! Beautiful, beautiful Scotland!" And those were his final words as he passed away. How many people homesick for God have you and I brought home? How many people did you and I influence, set an example, give an invitation, proved with our way of living what this is all about? Come home. Come home. How many have we brought home? I don't know. Yes, many. We cannot deny the wondrous God that also worked in our church through the years. Many of them under the ground, many in their final days. But one thing, the Bible tells us this morning, is the words of Jesus. "Celebrate with me, for I found my sheep that was lost." Let us take up our bagpipes, the tunes of God's love, out into the world. After all, that's the only thing that legitimizes the fact that we are still calling ourselves Christians. And let us then play the bagpipes of God's love, of God's welcome, God's grace, and God's mercy for anyone, no matter who they are, where they are on life's journey, longing to find a home or to return home. to a place where all is welcome, because the Spirit of Jesus Christ and nothing else rules that church. Bit more personal, if I may. Who amongst us this morning heard the bagpipes calling us home? Did someone hear the call? You may not be alone. All you need to say, just as I am, without one plea, alone thy blood was shed for me. O Lord of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, thou tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Amen.